I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gale Rosen. This podcast has been edited for brevity, and we hope you like it.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In the 1967 film The Graduate, Dustin Hoffman's character Ben gets some sage advice from a family friend.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
Exactly how do you mean?
There's a great future in plastics. Think about it. Will you think about it?
Yes, I will.
I've said. That's a deal.
Well, a half century later, single-use plastics and plastic waste are huge, for sure, a huge problem. About 380 million tons of plastic is produced worldwide each year. About half of all the plastic waste in the world comes from plastic packaging, things we use for a couple of minutes or tear off as soon as we get our purchases home. So many countries and states are starting to legislate to try to curb the amount of plastic waste we're producing. In Vermont this year, there are already four bills that address plastic waste, and at least one more is expected to be introduced. Today on the show, we're going to talk about how Vermont is looking at the problem of plastic and waste. Over the course of the show, we'll hear from two lawmakers interested in this topic and from the head of the Vermont Retail and Grocers Association. But first, we talk with Paul Burns, executive director of VPIRG, the Vermont Public Interest Research Group. Paul, it's nice to talk with you again.
Thanks, Jane. It's great to be here.
So I was reading a 2018 UN report this morning, you know, as I always do, on on single-use plastics. And I wanted to share this quote, this list that they provided in the executive summary. Quote, the most common single-use plastics found in the environment are, in order of magnitude, cigarette butts, plastic drinking bottles, plastic bottle caps, food wrappers, plastic grocery bags, plastic lids, straws and stirrers, other types of plastic bags, and foam takeaway containers. Now, first of all, I was really surprised to see that cigarette butts and the you know the butts themselves, the filters, are the single biggest single-use plastic found in the environment. Does that surprise you at all?
I've seen that statistic, so it doesn't surprise me only because I've read that before. But all of these are terrible problems, as you can imagine.
Yeah, and you know, plastic itself is amazing. I mean, plastic, as we heard from The Graduate, it's a huge development in modernization. And, you know, people are saved by the ability to have plastic in our medical field. So it's not just that plastic is evil, but our culture is certainly one where we just use things and throw them away, use them once, maybe don't even use them at all. I mean, think about all the plastic packaging that we get that we throw away as soon as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. So how do the bills that are in Montpelier address this major, massive global problem with plastic?
I guess by thinking globally and acting locally, in a sense. And as you point out, plastics are right now used in so many different ways. And the bills in Montpelier and most of the focus of my organization and many of the folks working on the problem of plastics right now is really about single-use plastics. Those items that are used for a very short period for one-time use, and it may be that as a plastic bag or a spoon or fork or cup, it has a useful life of 5 minutes or 15 minutes. But the problem is it's around for literally 500 years or more because plastic doesn't biodegrade, and somewhere it is out in the environment. And so the bills that Vermont legislators and others are championing this year would move us away from those single-use plastics by putting a ban on plastic bags, for instance, requiring that straws, there be a policy that would move us away from single-use plastic straws, probably in the direction of something that says straws would be made available only upon the request of the customer, and moving away again from polystyrene, commonly known as styrofoam packaging products. I think those are all elements of what you'll see in legislation moving this year. And then one other piece would be to modernize Vermont's successful bottle bill recycling program to include some of the items that just didn't exist in 1972 when the law was passed initially. So, for instance, plastic water bottles ought to be on that list. And that would do a large bit to reduce the amount, the number of plastic water bottles and other plastic beverage containers that you see along roadways and in rivers and out into the environment because they tend to get returned and recycled at a much higher rate if they're covered covered by the bottle bill.
Those are the two bills that are probably going to get the most consumer interest, I would say, or that could affect, you know, sort of everybody's life perhaps more extensively than some of the other legislation that's out there. So, again, one is to prohibit food service establishments and perhaps retail establishments as well from giving you a single-use plastic bag to take out your stuff, would ban styrofoam takeout containers and plastic straws with some exceptions. And then the other one that we were just talking about with Paul Burns, expanding the bottle bill and perhaps even increasing that deposit from 5 cents to 10 cents. The other two bills that are already proposed, one would require the Secretary of Natural Resources to basically do a study to study microplastic contamination in the environment and in Vermont's drinking water. And then H50 would require some changes around styrofoam buoys, docks, floating structures in state waters. And so it would make them have to be encapsulated by a protective covering, which I'm guessing would also be plastic, but would basically protect the styrofoam and then might prohibit a person from selling or using certain products in or around the waters of the state of Vermont. And Paul Burns, I assume you support all of these vociferously, or do you see problems with changing consumer behavior through legislation?
No, I really think the time has come for exactly this kind of approach to the problem of the single-use plastics in particular. And I think from what we're seeing from our members and from the general public, so many people are ready for this as well. This is an issue that I think is tapping into the strong sentiments of Vermonters and of Americans. At least a couple of states have already taken the step of banning plastic bags, California being one of those. And, you know, if it can work in our most populous state, I don't think there's any reason why it can't be done here. I think what it will require is a transition, and people will get themselves some of these reusable bags that they can substitute for the plastic bags now. And I want to say one other point on the bags. We do encourage people to use reusable bags instead of just switching over to paper bags. Paper bags are not a perfect answer either. They have their own environmental problems. They're not out in the environment for 500 years, but the best solution is not simply to shift over to paper bags, and that's why I think some of these bills will also have a small charge on paper bags as well, which would, again, further encourage people to get reusable bags.
Those reusable bags, I mean, most grocery stores sell them, and you can buy them for, you know, not a ton of money. Aren't those made out of plastic too?
Some of them are. And here again, we're really talking about not a ban on all plastics. As you say, I mean, some of the most important things that we have in our society of medical devices and so forth are made of plastic. Nobody's talking about getting rid of all plastic. But the worst uses of plastic are those where they are literally used for just moments and then are disposed of, often not recycled, and they're out in the environment for hundreds of years. So a reusable bag that happens to be made of plastic is far better than just using a single use time after time. And so you got to look at that. You know, the better would be a cloth bag and so forth. But our real focus is on this idea that a single use, an item made of plastic used just once is too much of a threat to our environment, to wildlife, and to our own health to be used and produced anymore.
Sean in Milton wrote into our Facebook page saying it's about time. There are so many alternatives. There aren't really any good excuses anymore. And let's go to Calvin calling in from Montgomery. Hi, Calvin. Your thoughts?
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Yeah, I'm a local restaurant worker, and I heard you guys talking about one of the options for phasing out plastic straws would be to just wait till people ask to use them. But one of the things we do in our restaurant is we use metal reusable washable straws, and we have enough for about all the tables that we have available, so everyone can at least get a straw, or they can wait for their turn, or we can reuse them and wash them. Or paper straws are a good alternative, too, because they break down right about the time you're done with your beverage, and you can just throw it out, and they're biodegradable paper.
Hey, Calvin, those metal straws, are they easy enough to clean, not posing a problem for you in the restaurant?
Oh, yeah, no, they're really easy to clean. They're nice, just a straight piece of metal. If you're really, really worried about it, you can probably get, like, a small rifle brush and clean it, but honestly, if you just get to it soon enough, hot sanitizing water is enough to clean them, run them through.
Yeah, Calvin, thanks for that, sharing your perspective, somebody who works in the food service industry. Interesting to hear from Calvin. Let's go to Robin Shai for a few minutes. She's the lead sponsor of H-74, a bill that would prohibit stores from handing out single-use plastic bags, also polystyrene, or also known as styrofoam takeout containers, or those single-use straws with some exceptions. Representative Shai, thanks for coming on the program today.
Thanks very much for having me, Jane.
So can you explain the scope of this bill? What kind of places are we talking about that would be prevented or prohibited from handing out these kinds of single-use plastics?
Sure. So as you mentioned, the bill is related to the prohibition of plastic carryout bags, expanded polystyrene, which is kind of that squeaky stuff. It's not quite the same as styrofoam, but it's used for carryout and food, and then single-use plastic straws. So those are the three. So the plastic carryout bag single use would include retail stores and food service establishments. As the bill's originally written, anything that has over 500 square feet of retail space and provides carryout bags to its customers. And on the straw side, the only caveat there, it's not upon request. It would be only upon request for a person who requires a single-use plastic straw due to a disability or medical condition. So we actually limit it a little bit further.
Although presumably nobody's going to be checking, you know. Yeah. And so when you talk about retail establishments, so just to be clear, like let's say, you know, you're going out, you realize, oh, shoot, I need a new shirt. And you go to the local department store. You cannot get a carryout bag. You know, if your bill goes through, the idea is you're not getting a plastic bag to carry that shirt out.
That's right.
You're also not getting your burrito in a styrofoam container.
Correct.
But what about a tiny little establishment? They can still do it?
Well, the original bill is 500 square feet or more, so there probably aren't too many that are that tiny.
Maybe a food truck.
A food truck.
And why? You know, we were talking earlier about how this is such a huge global problem. I mean, 9% of all of the plastics made since 1950 have been recycled. And we know that this is just, you know, expanding by leaps and bounds still. I mean, I think something like by 2050, if it continues unabated, 20% of all the oil use in the world will be to make plastics. So, you know, how does Vermont banning single-use plastic containers in our retail establishments help? Why is this something that you're focused on?
Well, I think it's inevitable. This is where we're heading. And the reason I initiated this bill in the first place was, A, I heard about what the state of New Jersey was trying to implement. Actually, I think it was on Vermont Public Radio, a news item. And I knew Brattleboro had initiated a ban on single-use bags. In my own town of Middlebury, they started a petition to ban single-use plastic bags. And it really got me to thinking, if we're going to do this piecemeal, it's going to be a lot of work for everybody and very confusing for everyone, and including the retail stores and grocery stores. If you can have plastic bags in one store and not offer them in another in one state, that's a little crazy. So it seemed to me that the logical next step was to make it a statewide ban, which is simpler for everyone.
So, Representative Shai, do you see a lot of momentum in Montpelier for your bill? Where do you expect to see that sort of that bogging down that we often see of bills, even bills that, you know, seem really to have a momentum at the start?
Right. Well, I've been pleased by the momentum that this has had and the interest that people have had outside the State House as much as inside the State House. The bill is, I introduced the bill in House Natural Resources about 2 weeks ago, and that is where it is residing right now. I know that committee at the moment is working on some Act 250 things because that report just came out, but I would expect that they would be taking this up after that's done.
That is Robin Shai, lead sponsor of the bill H-74 that would prohibit stores from handing out single-use plastic bags, also styrofoam containers and single-use straws, again, with the exception of people who need to use a straw because of mobility issues. Representative Shai, thanks very much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you.
We are talking about plastics legislation, so let's just keep moving here while we're talking legislation, doing our little tour of legislation moving through Montpelier, and chat with Chris Bray, who's a state senator from New Haven. Hello, Senator Bray. Nice to talk with you.
Good to talk with you again, Jane.
And you are lead sponsor of S60. This is basically the expanded bottle bill. So we're talking about redemption. And it looks like on this bill, you know, it basically expands what kinds of bottles and beverage containers can be covered under the deposit and the bottle bill. So it would include water bottles, wine bottles, containers for non-carbonated and carbonated drinks, notably excluding dairy and all dairy substitutes like rice milk, soy milk, almond milk, and hemp seed milk. So why do you want to expand the bottle bill? How do you think that'll help?
Well, so the Vermont solid waste system is complicated. There are a lot of different streams. We tend to think of trash as trash, but once you start looking at it more closely, you end up finding that different kinds of materials are routed different kinds of ways, and there are different markets for them as recycled materials, et cetera. And so we end up tuning the system over time. So this, the bottle bill is really, or the revision to the bottle bill is to say it's based on two things. One, it's been a nickel since the early 70s, and if you adjusted for inflation, that deposit would have grown from a nickel to roughly 33 cents by now. So this is kind of an inflation adjustment on the nickel. And then the other thing is, since the 70s, there are an awful lot of things available to purchase to drink that just didn't even exist back in the 70s. The beverage world's gotten bigger and more complex. So a lot of things that were never included, I think we would have included them at the outset had they been there, but products have been created. So we're looking at opportunities to manage waste better, and the bottle bill's one of the two tools to do that.
Or you could always do what my great aunt used to do, which was save up all of her bottles all year in Massachusetts and then drive them to Maine once a year to get 10 cents off her 5-cent deposit. Probably not the best way to do it here in Vermont, but that was her approach. You know, in terms of this expansion of the bottle bill, I mean, is the idea here just to get more people to recycle their plastic bottles? Because, I mean, a lot of people already do. I mean, a plastic water bottle, many of them, can go into the recycling bin. But is it just that people aren't doing that, and you think that if they can get 10 cents for it, they'll put it through in this other sort of stream of our recycling?
Right. Well, that's the perfect question, because I don't know the answer yet for sure. Senator Polina, I put this in to basically ensure that we have the conversation or provide room to create the conversation, because as you alluded, there is another whole way of managing bottles and other plastic waste, for instance, and that's the whole single sort system we have, where people toss everything into a blue bin, unsorted, and off it goes to a sorting center. And the challenge with that approach is that it commingles a lot of different materials, and you end up with a lower grade blend of plastics and glass and all the rest than if you sort it in the beginning, which is kind of the way we used to do it, and some parts of the states have never stopped doing it. So the goal is to learn more and say what parts of the waste stream might be moved out and covered through the bottle bill style of recycling, rather than through single sort, and will we get better outcomes for the state by making that kind of shift?
Let's talk briefly about the other legislation that you haven't introduced yet, but you're planning to. We were just talking to Representative Shai about her bill that would change the way, you know, when we go to the grocery store or to a retail establishment and leave with a plastic bag, it would prohibit that. You have another bill that's similar, but where's the difference?
From what I've heard Robin describing this, they're very similar. When I first started on this bill, it was, I think the difference compared to other bills I was hearing about was that it was comprehensive, so it was just bigger than single-use plastic bags. It includes those same kind of containers, polystyrene and polyethylene, all those bouncy plastic containers that you get sandwiches and takeout and leftovers, all those kinds of things. And again, it also includes a straw provision, and the same thing. You know, we heard from the disability community that there are people for whom getting a beverage when they're out requires them to have a flexible plastic straw. So we certainly don't want anyone being unable to be accommodated anywhere when they're out getting food. The biggest difference, though, I think, is maybe in timeline. As opposed to doing this in the next couple months, because the solid waste stream and solid waste management is a complicated system or collection of systems, the bill I've introduced creates a stakeholder working group over the summer to bring together the towns that have gone ahead to learn best practices from them. You know, they've actually been implementing things, so let's learn how it's working and not working. And then also to bring together the retailers, the food establishments, the solid waste district people, the haulers in from the trash world, and figure out how to do it systematically. Because for sure, we want to end up with a harmonized statewide system. But let's build on and respect the good work of towns that have gone first.
So that's Chris Bray, state senator from New Haven, who has sponsored S-60, the expanded bottle bill, and is talking about other legislation he plans to put forward, similar to Robin Shai's legislation in the House about plastic bags and single-use plastic. Senator Bray, thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're talking about plastic waste and what to do with it. Paul Burns, executive director of the Vermont Public Interest Research Group, VPIRG, is with us. Jared in Lincoln says, I lived in Portland, Oregon last summer and drove for Lyft. I gave bottled water to any of my customers who wanted it, and usually by the end of the week, I had at least $5 to $10 worth of bottles to return. The bottle bill out there definitely works, and you never see bottles littering anywhere. Jean emailed in on plastic bags saying, you know, most people buy plastic bags for their kitchen garbage, but I use the plastic grocery bags for my garbage and only take a plastic grocery bag from the grocery store when I need new garbage bags. I've been trying to figure out what I can use for my garbage. You can't recycle or compost everything. And Ruth in Benson says, it would be helpful if the state would regulate and outlaw new plastic packaging for foods in supermarkets. I used to be able to buy veggies, the amount we needed. Now it's all packaged in plastic tubs, in coolers. That's a huge waste. Plus, you can't buy just what you need. Outlaw introducing new packaging and make laws to change the absurd packaging for a small item or screws and stuff like that. Christina in Lindenville says, what can be done or is being done in Vermont to make it as easy to recycle as it is to throw plastics away? The plastic recycling codes are numerous and confusing. What's being done to make it easier to know what can and can't be recycled? Single-use plastics in packaging is a huge problem. So what can be done to reduce this? Why is any produce in plastic bags? I'd be willing to pay more for reusable or refillable containers. How do we change the culture so shoppers bring containers with them? Well, Paul Burns, I mean, part of it, I guess, would be make the consumers have to pay for a bag, and maybe that would change their behavior, right?
It does tend to change behavior when people have to pay for a bag like that. I also think that it is possible that people can communicate with the grocery store, the managers there, letting them know that you're sick and tired of all of this excess packaging and particularly the plastic. And businesses are taking note. You know, it's worth noting that Ben & Jerry's, a good old Vermont business, has recently announced its own plans to do away with throwaway plastics at its 600 scoop shops around the country and I guess around the world over the next couple of years. By the end of this year, they'll be taking some important steps and then kind of finishing the job next year. And there are all sorts of companies that are now looking at this as well, because I think they recognize the very strong consumer interest in trying to tackle this problem of excess waste, particularly the plastics.
Let me ask you a question that you are probably not equipped to answer. But let's say these establishments that are either voluntarily or depending, you know, on the jurisdiction, are forced to change over from single-use plastics like those plastic forks and stuff, mm-hmm. and start using the compostable ones. If consumers then don't know that they're compostable and throw it in the trash, is that still a better choice than having a single-use plastic thrown in the trash because the compostable fork will, you know, biodegrade in the landfill?
It's not a lot better in a landfill. It is true that very little biodegrades anyway, because hopefully you've got an absence of sunlight and water in the landfills. and therefore you can dig things up in a landfill, even paper, many decades later, and have very little biodegradation taking place.
But I thought our landfill in Coventry was really appreciating organic material because it helped with their methane digester.
Well, that's where the liquid, I guess, would be introduced with some of those organic materials. But we still think that composting real organic materials, food scraps, for instance, is a far better way to go than sending it to a landfill. It's a whole lot less expensive, for one thing. And so I don't think it's the answer. The other interesting thing about some of these compostable plastics or single-use items, they may not really compost very well even in a composting operation. So a lot of those commercial composting operations don't want those things. And they sometimes contain chemicals like perfluorinated chemicals, the PFAS chemicals that your listeners may remember were found in the private drinking water wells in Bennington County and elsewhere around the state. So even as some companies try to get away from the single-use plastics, there are still other toxic problems associated with certain of these disposable items. So not to say that there's a problem with absolutely everything, but really the better way to go is if you can get reusable items that you can use many times, it's always going to be the better choice.
Let's get the voice in here of Aaron Segrist, president of the Vermont Retail and Grocers Association. Hello. Hello again, Aaron. Nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about a lot of different pieces of legislation here, and this is sort of an overview of them towards the beginning of the session. From your perspective, as the voice or the leader of the Retail and Grocers Association, let's talk specifically about these single-use plastics instead of the bottle bill. That can be a topic for another time. But what do you think about this idea of banning plastic bags that are single-use, banning styrofoam containers? Good idea? Bad idea? You on board?
So that's a great question. We here at VRGA are obviously aware of the various efforts around the state to ban the plastic bags. We understand something's coming. It's a discussion at the national level. It's a discussion internationally. But whatever moves forward, we believe, must address both paper and plastic. Consumers, say we ban plastic bags, consumers will automatically move over to requesting paper bags. And so if we do ban plastics, then we need to be charging for paper to ensure that consumers do see some type of encouragement for bringing reusable bags. As far as the polystyrene, we hold a little bit of concern about banning all polystyrene, immediately. It's for over the last 50 years, there have been several studies from the FDA, the American Cancer Society, the Toxicology Institute, and they've all concluded that it's safe. Polystyrene costs 2 to 3 times less than other single-use plastics, and by forcing, whether it's a grocer or a restaurant into other products, either comparables or compostables. Comparables are often not recyclable, and compostable products similar to polystyrene don't solve the issue because there's no commercial composting. So there are several issues that we need to be looking at as far as impacts go surrounding polystyrene.
But if everybody has to do the same thing, everybody's in the same boat, do you think that consumer behavior will be changed such that somebody's going to say, well, forget it, I'm not buying my takeout sushi because I can't get it in styrofoam? Or, what's the worry? Because if you can pass that cost on to the consumer and then the consumers have to change their behavior, but they're still buying food or, shirts or whatever, why is it a problem?
So the concern about passing costs on to consumers is, first of all, we are not an island. We have multiple borders, and we are now living in a society that you can purchase products and even food online. You see the increased sales on online retail sales, I should say, doubling year over year. And so by just simply saying that we're going to pass the cost on to consumers, you're forcing consumers to buy online. We should be, quite often we hear legislators and every Vermonter for that fact saying we support our small businesses. But when you continue to increase the costs that a small business faces in this state, you're not supporting the small businesses. So We can't simply demand that our retailers continue to pass costs on, because there's a finite amount of money within this state, and there are, again, plenty of opportunities to buy products and services elsewhere.
So, Paul Burns, what about that? Because, I mean, certainly when we talk about plastic packaging, buying things online and having them shipped to you is often an even worse choice.
Yeah, for sure. But I think the good news is here that some of the solutions that we're talking about, which would have more and more consumers bringing their own bags to stores, for instance, could be a cost saver for those businesses. Then they don't have to invest in purchasing plastic bags or paper bags for their shoppers. This is a case where Aaron and I certainly agree that we do need to do something to encourage people not simply to migrate over to single-use paper bags, as I mentioned before, but bringing their own. Again, that can save them money. Similarly, with restaurants, they'll be using a whole lot fewer plastic throwaway straws by simply not putting them automatically in everybody's water glass. So they do right by the environment, by our climate, by public health, all by saving themselves a little bit of money at the same time.
So, Aaron Segrist, are you working with lawmakers to try to make this something that you get behind, or are you saying, you know, pump the brakes, let's not do it this year?
Yeah, good question, Jane. I was hoping to have a bill ready for a proposal prior to the beginning of the session. But I am happy to say that we are working on some type of bill, and we're more than willing, as always, to work with legislators to find the best possible way forward. So I am looking forward to working with Representative Shy or Senator Bray. Senator Bray and I have been in touch a couple times this legislative session, and I'm certainly looking forward to continuing that conversation.
Well, so am I, because this is a topic that people get really heated about. And I think looking at that question of consumer behavior around bringing your own bags is a good topic. We've done it before, and I'm sure we'll do it again as this legislation moves through. Aaron Segrist is president of the Vermont Retail and Grocers Association. Paul Burns is executive director of the Vermont Public Interest Research Group. Thanks, both of you, for being on the show today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.